May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Well, here we are. This is it, the last Sunday of Advent. Christmas is almost here, but not quite. Today we hear the announcement, first in Isaiah and then in the Gospel, of two babies growing in their mother's wombs. Madeleine L'Engle, poet and author of several very fine novels for children, including the classic A Wrinkle in Time, wrote of Advent, "This is the irrational season when love blooms bright and wild. Had Mary been filled with reason, there'd have been no room for the child." We might say, less poetically, that had Joseph been filled with conventional righteousness, there would have been no safety for Mary, nor for the child in her womb. Joseph was ready to respond to the news that his betrothed had been found with child in a very unconventional way, a way that contradicted the very law of God as it was handed down in Hebrew scriptures. This scandalous situation was a disaster for Joseph and dangerous for Mary. According to custom and law, Mary's punishment for being pregnant by someone other than Joseph should have been a public stoning. But Joseph planned instead to put her away quietly. Joseph was a righteous man, unwilling to subject his bride to the consequences of public scandal. Then, the angel who had come to Mary and disrupted her life came to Joseph and disrupted his sleep, bringing him a sign in his dreams. "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid."
When Joseph awoke,
he followed the path illuminated for him by the sign of a child growing in the darkness of the womb. Matthew's birth narrative sets up for us the way in which the Holy Spirit animates and motivates every aspect of the phenomenon that the church has come to understand as the incarnation. Emmanuel, God with us, is born of the Holy Spirit, and the human, Jewish, female flesh of Mary. That is the way in which the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place. Matthew presents a straightforward story of the birth of Jesus, devoid of those charming vignettes of searching for a room in Bethlehem and of rough shepherds kneeling by the manger in adoration, those stories that we will hear from Luke's Gospel on Christmas Eve. But woven into this spare account is an amazing story of an everyday Joe just following his heart and doing what he thinks is right, paying attention to his dreams. When you think about it, nothing that Joseph does in this story is purely rational or in his best interest. It isn't even necessarily faithful to the law of God as Joseph has understood it up to this point. But what Joseph does from the beginning when he shows compassion for Mary and her child is right in line with the everlasting loving kindness that the people of God have always recognized in God. God is with us. Emmanuel was a promise delivered by the prophet Isaiah
to
Ahaz, the beleaguered king of Judah. The promise of salvation from disaster was delivered in the sign of a child. Ahaz rejected both sign and promise in favor of seeking a common sense solution to his problems. He sought instead a military alliance with a foreign power that worshiped a false god. And the result, I might add, was total disaster. In the gospel according to Matthew, the messenger of the Lord picks up that promise of the child and hands it on to Joseph, who accepts both promise and sign of God with us and guards the child faithfully. Barbara Lund writes in her commentary on today's gospel that God's sign of a child surprised a king and an unwed father named Joseph. This sign matters in a world that continues to worship a vengeful God who can crush our enemies. Seeing the child as sign of God with us paints a different picture. The Word comes as a child who can be received and cannot hurt us, a Word that does not make us afraid. What is so amazing is that when God does come among us, God does not come with violence, but as a child, vulnerable, so that we might receive rather than fear him. The second person of the Trinity, Jesus, the Christ, the Anointed One, the Son of God, was born vulnerable in human flesh, in need of his mother Mary and his adopted father Joseph. It has been said we rightly affirm at every Eucharist, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. And that furthermore, these affirmations should not tempt us to forget that first, Christ was born. When Christ was born, God stepped into time and space to create an intersection here for us with eternity. I'll say that again because it is the very reason and definition of incarnation. When Christ was born, God stepped into time and space to create that intersection with eternity for us. That intersection between time and eternity, between humanity and divinity, is part and parcel of that irrational season, not meant to be understood so much as to be known in our very bones. It is an embrace of love, blooming bright and wild. We've been somewhat conditioned to look for that embrace in Christ's arms of love, outstretched on the hardwood of the cross. And of course, God's love is there. But those arms of love were born, grew, worked, and lived among us for 3 decades before they stretched out on the cross. Being born, growing, working, living, hugging. Those mortal activities helped to create the intersection of humanity and divinity. On this fourth Sunday of Advent, we are well into the incarnation cycle. The incarnation cycle is the name for the triad of liturgical seasons that we've begun moving through and will continue to move through for the next several weeks. We're almost done with Advent. Christmas is coming, and beyond that is Epiphany. The incarnation cycle is a particular gift that we get to enjoy in our Anglican tradition of liturgical worship. We are given in the incarnation cycle the opportunity to prepare and watch in Advent, for God's love to bloom bright and wild and to scatter the darkness from before us. For the 12 days of Christmastide, we get to celebrate the birth of the child made possible by Mary's irrational yes to the angel Gabriel, and by Joseph's attention to dream-sent messengers from God. Throughout the season of Epiphany, we are able to observe and learn from the
glorious manifestation,
the divinity of God in Jesus. We learn how to manifest in ourselves the humans that God wills us to be in creating us. What a gift we have in our liturgical calendar. The incarnation, the fact that Christ was born, Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. The incarnation, in its bright and wild fullness, is God's own proclamation that God loves us. God loves us irrationally.